Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Herhold, president of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron. And on behalf of myself and the First Friday Club board, I'd like to welcome you and thank you for coming to our March 2022 program. Special thanks to our major underwriter and sponsor, the Ohio Catholic Federal Credit Union. Our very special speakers for today are senior students from our area Catholic high schools who will share with us the topic, How God Has Walked With Me Through Life and High School. Please silence your cell phones so that we may all enjoy today's program. After our presentation, you will have the opportunity to write down questions for our speaker. There should be cards provided by the credit union on that table. After the talk, we'll have a short announcement break to collect question cards and then have a question and answer session. And before we begin today, too, I'd like to extend a special thank you to our wonderful catering staff here at the Tangier. It's now my pleasure to introduce St. Vincent St. Mary student Andrea Knight, who will offer our opening prayer.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Loving God, bless all those gathered here today as we come together in friendship and fellowship. Thank you for the blessings of our individual and collected God-given gifts. Place in our hearts the desire to make a difference to our families, our community, our country, and to many cultures and peoples worldwide. Give us balance in times of distraction and uncertainty. Help us move towards our goals with determination and always with an abundant sense of humor. Thank you for food in the world where many know only hunger, for our faith in a world where many know fear, for friends in a world where many know loneliness. Please bless this food we have shared, those who have prepared it and those who serve it, and those who have worked to make today a special occasion. For all this, we give you thanks. Amen.
Thank you so much, Andrea. It's now my pleasure to introduce our high school presidents who will introduce today's special speakers.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Chris Damar. I'm the president and Archbishop of Oban High School. Very excited to share this afternoon with you, and very, very excited to talk about one of my favorite guys at Archbishop Oban. So, Andrew Hartman, why don't you come up, join me on stage. Andrew is a senior, obviously. Lots that I can say, but I think I'm going to center around the quality of leadership and his ability to model for students and adults and the entire Oban community what it means to be a person of faith, what it means to be a good friend, what it means to be a good student, and probably most importantly, what it means to be a person of faith. And Andrew's going to discuss with us some of his thoughts. So without further ado, Andrew Hartman.
Good afternoon, everyone. I had a short intro here, but I think he did a good job, so I'm just going to move on. I'm a graduate of St. Francis de Sales Parish. That was my grade school, and I've been a part of Catholic education for 13 years, and I truly believe that it has shaped the man I am today. Growing up, I knew God as someone who lived within the church. I learned about him in religion class, dressed up in shirt and tie on Fridays to attend the children's mass with my classmates, and even piled into the minivan on Sundays with my parents and siblings for Sunday mass. If we were on our best behavior that week, we got to sleep in and attend the 11 o'clock. If not, we were up for what seemed like the sunrise service. At that time in my young age, my faith was very structured, more of a household expectation than a conscious choice. It was all I knew. It wasn't until my first days at Archbishop Oban, however, that I learned the lesson of living my faith. It was here that I started to realize that God is present inside of me and is present inside of the people around me too. Hoban and Holy Cross are deeply rooted in my family. I can remember as a young person hearing my grandparents reminiscing about the Brothers of Holy Cross and going to meet their friends and the Associates of St. Joseph. My parents met at Archbishop Hoban, and my aunts, uncle, and cousins were graduates too. As a young person, I hope that my time at Hoban would lead me to be inspired both in the mind and heart by educators, classmates, and teammates who shared similar values and dreams that I do. One of my first experiences at Hoban was the day of my placement test. I went into the test with one goal, outscoring my twin sister. After the test, us students were instructed to meet our parents in the Maynard Family Chapel. As I approached the entryway, I realized that the parent meeting was still in progress, so I sat quietly in the back and rested my head back after a long, long test, you guys know. Looking up, I remember seeing words that align the walls of our octagon-shaped chapel. Hope, integrity, family, discipline, and more. What struck me about these words was the permanency with which they were etched into the structure of the space. They were not written or simply painted over the walls of our chapel, but rather were deeply engraved, clearly with long-lasting intent. At that time, I did not realize what those words were or what they would mean to me. But since I've got to Hoban, I learned that these words were what we strive for as a community. Little did I know that 4 years later, standing here, the words that accidentally caught my attention on the day of my placement test, I would come to know as the pillars that have molded me into who I am today, the Holy Cross core values. When I was a freshman, I participated in three sports and remember having dreams of earning an athletic scholarship to college. At the end of baseball season, my last sport of freshman year, I had not yet completed the mandatory service hours and was looking to get involved. We had lost early in the playoffs that year, and I was not sure what to do with myself having no practices after school. Mr. Fahey, who's here tonight, our Christian service coordinator, invited me to join Project Hope, which is Hoban's outreach for peace and equality. On Wednesday nights, we packed meals and went out to serve those marginalized members of our community. I can remember buckling myself into the van on our first day after preparing meals and was ready for what I thought would be a long drive. But our first stop was actually at the bottom of Fifth Avenue, less than a minute from the school. At our first stop, I met a man named Billy, who had been a longtime friend of Project Hope. He had recognized me as new and couldn't hold back commenting on my Hoban football t-shirt. Turns out he was a big Maslin fan. There are so many stories I could tell about Billy and others I had met in my outreach. We had lots of banter about who was going to win the next big game or who made that game-changing play during our time apart. My favorite story, though, is one time we arrived at his stop and I went in to find Billy flipping a new football. Even though I was from Hoban, he wanted to make sure I knew how to throw a tight spiral. We went outside and Mr. Fahey went out for a pass. I threw a great spiral, but he didn't quite snag the catch. Billy was impressed with my spiral, but not at the fact that I was left-handed, so we had something new to argue about the next week. In exchange for a few packed lunches, Billy always seemed to give me worldly advice and even read scripture passages to us Hoban students. This was my first real interaction with service, and I couldn't help but feel I was being more served than Billy was. Service to me is the exciting part of my faith, a part that I did not truly know until high school, but a component of my faith that I look to carry with me forever. Throughout my time on Project Hope, I've run into countless members of the Akron community, each having their own story. When I saw the core value option for the poor in the chapel engraved on the wall, I had assumed that I would be primarily giving to others. What I have since learned, though, is that I have received so much more than what I have given to those people on my outreach. If not for our early loss in baseball that year, I would not have been impacted by these amazing people, and to that I owe the Holy Cross core value of divine providence. Early on in my Hoban education, a teacher described this value to me as us, God's children sitting on a swing set, and God holding the chains to each swing. Although at times I may not know or understand God's plan of action, this teacher instilled in me the importance of an unwavering belief in God and his plan. When I think of my teachers, I think of the core value of zeal, which is making God known, loved, and served. These are people who have so much enthusiasm and passion for their vocation of teaching. I have had teachers who I see in the classroom during the school day, and then who I see in the crowd at night supporting my teammates and me, even at away games. Teachers who go out into the community, rain, snow, or shine, to help and befriend those in need that surround us. And even a teacher who does handstands to both excite and teach students about the importance of core strength, relating faith to our core. They are at Hoban because they believe in students like me and want to guide us on the path of Christ. My experiences at Hoban and beyond, be it sports, classes, or service, have allowed me to cross paths with so many inspirational and faith-filled people. Educators that support, inspire, and uplift the lives of students. Students who compete, learn, and overcome. Some who even work after school every day to pay for their education. It is through these relationships that I feel God is truly guiding me along a faithful path, a path different than the one I thought I would be taking coming into high school. I feel that God has called me to continue my passion of service in the next step of my education. I plan to study medicine with the goal of eventually being an activist for change in healthcare policy for the underserved and marginalized. God has guided me to this vocation through Hoban, allowing me to get involved in my community and learn from people like Mr. Fahey, who care deeply for theirs. As I prepare to move on from Archbishop Hoban in a few months, I hope to take what I have learned in the classroom, in the athletic arena, and in my service outreach to etch permanent, positive change in a world that clearly needs it. When I walk down the hallway towards the chapel these days, I can hardly believe that 4 years have passed since I beat my sister on the placement test. When I look up on the walls today, the values are so much more than just words to me. I associate memories and people with each pillar of Holy Cross and know that both the values and people that God has brought to me through Hoban have been permanently etched into my heart. I came into Hoban knowing God as someone who lived within the walls of the church and will be leaving knowing God is walking with me, that he has a hand in every relationship I make and every person I meet along the way. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Kelly Witters. I'm the Academic Dean at St. Vincent St. Mary High School, and it's my pleasure to introduce Andy McKnight, a senior from our school, involved in many activities, leadership activities. She's a positive presence in our building with a great smile. So I introduce to you Andy McKnight.
Hello. So as Mrs. Witter said, my name is Andy McKnight, and I'm a senior at St. Vincent St. Mary and a parishioner at St. Mary's in Hudson. So the topic I was asked to speak on today is how God has walked through me through high school. And in discerning this talk, I've thought about all the ways my faith has shaped me into the person I am today and how much Christ has made an impact on my life. He has brought so many people into my life, and through that, he's revealed his love to me. My Catholic faith has always been something very important to me and something very close to my heart, especially as I've gotten older. Growing up is not easy, especially when you enter high school. I had to navigate changes in life such as friends, family, schoolwork, driving, getting a job. And now this year, I have to navigate leaving high school, going to college, and choosing what I want to do with my life. This can be very overwhelming and a lot of pressure, but my faith has been a source of strength and has reminded me that I am strong and never alone. I grew up in a Catholic family where faith was valued. My family was the first introduction to my faith. And although it was the first introduction, the first big step in my faith was my parents' choice to send me to Catholic school. I will always be grateful for their choice and sacrifice to send me to Seton Catholic School. Being in a faith-based education environment built and shaped my faith, and it helped me to understand it. In school, I was able to learn about Jesus, the saints, Bible, Mass, the sacraments, and in learning about my faith, it made me more devoted to it. I attended Mass in school and with my family on Sundays. I prayed regularly. I went to pray the rosary before school at Rosary Club. And even as a little girl, I told people I wanted to be a nun when I grew up. That has obviously changed a lot. Even though I was very involved in my faith, I lacked the emotion behind it. I was numb to what my faith truly was and what it could be. My faith was strictly an obligation. I never thought I could be on the same level as Jesus or the saints or anyone holy. All I thought I could do was admire them from afar. It wasn't until I entered high school and started to attend Life Teen, which is a youth group at my parish. Attending Life Teen events, especially adoration, reconciliation, and retreats, made me realize that I was numb, and that God was trying to reveal himself to me to say that he loved me, and that I was his beautiful daughter, and he just wanted to be with me, and that he had such an amazing plan. Finally realizing this was a turning point in my faith. My faith became something real and something personal with Christ. And although it was a turning point, the change was not immediate. Like any relationship, I had to put time and effort into it. And being a part of Life Teen helped me to do this. Having a stronger relationship with Christ and being in such an active youth group surrounded by others who shared a beautiful faith like me helped me realize how much I love being in a faith-centered community, and I love sharing my faith with others. It's been because of the people I've encountered in Life Teen, I've been able to come face-to-face with Christ and know how he's working in my life. This is a part of the reason why I love St. VM. We're a family, and when I walk into the building, it feels like home. I always feel so supported and loved by everyone there. It's not the physical building that makes St. V such a special place, it's the people. I've made so many friends throughout my high school years. Some of my closest friends that I have made have come into my life in such unexpected ways, such as sports, clubs, or just sitting next to each other in a fun class. I'm so grateful to have them in their life, and they have made me feel so special and so loved. One of my favorite memories of a first encounter of one of my good friends was on the first day of freshman year. I remember being really nervous that day, and when I was standing by my locker before class, a girl walked up to me and introduced herself and said, "You look really nice. What's your name?" And we're still friends to this day. At STVM, being a Catholic Marianist school, not only helped to support the family atmosphere, but it made it home. As I became an upperclassman, I hoped to contribute to that family atmosphere. At the end of my junior year and leading into my current senior year, I was given many opportunities to become a spiritual leader at STVM. One of these was becoming a Holly House chaplain. 2 years ago, STVM developed a house system where the entire school community is sorted into four houses, Hawthorne, Ash, Oak, and Holly. And I know what you're probably thinking, yes, it's like Harry Potter. Last year, I was sorted into Holly House. Even though I was skeptical about the house system at first, I came to enjoy it a lot. It only added to the family atmosphere in the school. We got to meet so many people, and we got to have friendly competition between each other. At the end of last year, applications for release for house leaders. There are four leadership positions for each house. There are two captains and two chaplains. Both positions have similar responsibilities, but the chaplains are in charge of the spirituality in the house. I applied to become a Holly chaplain, and after a long process of many interviews and being very nervous, I finally received the position. I have loved having the opportunity to lead my school, whether it's in house competitions, service projects, school events, or leading a Holly House to a House Cup championship, hopefully. One other thing is Marianist Life. Marianist Life is the spiritual group at St. VM. We help to lead mass, prayer services, service projects, and we also hold monthly meetings with topics such as dealing with anxiety, being comfortable in your own skin, or balancing school and athletics. Being in Marianist Life and being able to connect with so many students at my school has made me feel like I'm able to help others in anything that they're struggling with. And finally, being a Kairos leader at St. V. Kairos is a special retreat that is reserved strictly for seniors at St. V. It's such a special retreat because you become so close with many people that you wouldn't normally talk to. And I felt that even though I was leading the retreat, I got just as much out of it as the people participating in it. I got to bring my faith to my friends and classmates who may have been struggling in their faith. I remember being really nervous for a talk I was supposed to give on Kairos. And I just was so nervous about giving it, and I just wanted it to impact at least one person. And after I give it, I remember my friend coming up to me and just thanking me for what I had said, and that they wanted something like I had, and were so thankful that I shared. And it made me feel so special because it reassured me that I touched the heart of someone else. And it made me realize that God is working in and through me. And I learned that being a leader is not about power, but is rather humbling yourself to build others up. And through learning this valuable lesson, it has made me realize that I can be a disciple anywhere, because I can continue to allow Christ to keep working in and through me. Looking back on these past couple years, I can see all the big and small ways Christ has made an impact in my life. He's brought me so much joy and love throughout the experiences and the people I've encountered. I can't believe that my story as a high school student is coming to an end, but I'm so excited to see what God has in store for me, because if it's anything like my high school years, I know it will be amazing.
Good afternoon. I'm Deborah Farquhar-Jones, president of Our Lady of the Elms. It's my pleasure today to introduce the Elms speaker, Lydia Brouse. So I spent some time with Lydia this week, and I asked her this question: what do you love about the Elms? To which she said, the inclusivity of our community, the welcoming nature of our school, the fact that we are smaller by design. And then she attested to the fact that the person she has become is due in large measure to the Elms and to the fact that she has lived a faith-filled life pretty much since the very start. Plans for college I asked next, and she shared the following. She's been accepted at all four colleges she applied to, but that John Carroll may be in her future, and she'd like to major in business or marketing, or maybe go on to law school. She hopes for a future that brings her success in her career and the chance to travel the world. When I asked her what surprises people about her, she shared that it's the fact that she wants people to be happy and that she welcomes the chance to help others to be successful. I think that's quite admirable. So living at home in Akron, with her Bernice Mountain Dog and two cats. Today she's joined by her mother and her grandmother, and we are delighted to welcome today's speaker from Our Lady of the Elms, Lydia Brouse.
Good afternoon, my name is Lydia Brouse. I'm a senior from Our Lady of the Elms High School. My journey of faith has grown and flourished throughout my 7 years of Catholic education. However, it wasn't until I reached high school where I opened myself up to having a relationship with God. I first began attending Catholic school in fifth grade, where I was fully immersed in learning about my faith in theology class. Every Friday, our school would attend Mass together, which played a significant role in helping me in terms of expanding my connection with my faith. After I graduated middle school, I started attending Sunday Masses with my grandmother. My grandmother continues to be a fundamental part of my spiritual growth, as she has remained my role model of faith. In eighth grade, there was no doubt who I would ask to be my confirmation sponsor. Now, as a senior in high school, my grandmother and I still attend Mass every Sunday. Spending this time to worship with her every week continues to lead me to a deeper relationship with God and my faith. Continuing my education at Our Lady of the Elms has truly shaped me into the young woman I am today. I have learned so much about my faith and myself throughout my high school career. The Elms strives to instill the four pillars of Dominican life: prayer, study, community, and preaching, into every girl, as they act as a guide to living out our faith in our daily lives. Reflecting on these four pillars of Dominican life has transformed me into a more independent, mature, and spiritual young woman. The first pillar of prayer has always played an important role in my spiritual life, as it has truly brought me closer to God. From a young age, I have been incorporating time for God in the form of prayer before I get ready in the morning and before I go to bed each night. Prayer has given me the chance to open myself up to God and have a deeper, more meaningful relationship with Him. Spending this time with God has allowed me to reflect on myself and my own spiritual life. It has helped me become more aware of my actions and thoughts towards others and myself. I have become more grateful and appreciative through prayer, as it has opened my eyes to all that God has given me and the people that He has surrounded me with. Prayer has given me strength through difficult times in my life and has given me peace in knowing that God's listening and that He has a plan. Taking this time to talk to God is a daily reminder to stay on track with my goals as a young Catholic woman. The second pillar of study has been vital during my years of Catholic education. Although I have been taking theology classes since fifth grade, I still find myself learning new things about my faith. It amazes me how there are still so many things about my faith that I have yet to discover and understand. My Catholic education has helped me learn more about my faith and my relationship with God, not only in the classroom, but also in my daily life. I have learned to find God in all things and through all experiences. Study in school can become stressful and exhausting, but remembering why we study and what we can learn through studying has helped me find God through my work. I continue to ask God for strength whenever I'm struggling with school, and I ask Him to help me see the value in the work that I'm doing. Whether it be a subject that will aid me later in my career or a class that I may never take again, I've learned to seize the opportunity of learning and look at it as a chance to grow intellectually and spiritually. The third pillar of community has provided me with support from those around me and has helped encourage me to be a young leader. The Elms community has played a vital role in helping me mature into the young woman I am today and where I am at in my own spiritual journey. I have learned so much about my faith not only from my theology classes, but also from the people around me. Being part of such a supportive and uplifting community has allowed me to have an open dialogue with my classmates about their own spiritual journeys. Being part of this community has enabled me to reach out to other communities and to spread my faith. I have been fortunate enough to hold a few leadership roles within my school community. I strive to help lead my classmates closer to God through actions of kindness and support. Being part of a community as encouraging as the Elms has truly helped me grow in my own faith and to understand and appreciate the spiritual journeys of others. I strive to help build more communities in our world where we are able to share our experiences with each other and to grow spiritually. The final pillar of preaching has allowed me to share my faith with other communities in my area. I strive to spread the word of God through my actions and in my leadership roles within my school community and beyond. I make it my mission to always offer support and to treat others with respect and kindness. My goal is to live out my life as a disciple of Christ and to help lead others to a life of love and support towards those around them. I stay active in various service projects within my school and in my local community. Helping others and knowing that I am making a difference in someone else's life truly makes me feel fulfilled. Being able to make a positive impact on my local community truly allows me to see God in my daily life and through the lives of those around me. Throughout the ups and downs I have experienced through my high school career, I can confidently say that God has been with me through it all. He has shown me He's been with me this entire time through the newfound strength I continuously find in myself. I've recognized His presence through the people around me who continue to love and support me no matter what. I am so incredibly grateful for my grandmother who continues to attend Mass with me every Sunday, and for all my family members and friends who are always at my side. I feel confident in saying that the Elms has prepared me to go out into the world equipped with the strength and confidence I need to succeed as a young woman of faith. My high school career has taught me to lead, work hard, and serve and support others. My mission is to go out into the world and continue to spread my faith through all I have learned through my Catholic education and to make a positive impact as a future leader. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Carl Ertl, president at Walsh Jesuit. Walsh Jesuit Senior Jack Mercer, the son of Vicki and John Mercer of West Akron, is our representative today. And what an honor it is to tell you a little bit about the life of our speaker. Jack drives his junior sister Lauren and freshman brother Tommy to school every day, and they laugh that he is usually on time. Six tardies so far. The Mercers are members of St. Hilary Parish, and Jack is a graduate of St. Hilary School. The man who will address us today is deeply committed to all things Jesuit and has lived our profile of the grad at grad, characteristics that we challenge our students and adults to embrace. There are five: openness to growth, academically competent, loving, religious, and committed to doing justice. As his counselor, Mr. George Wright, told me, it has been an honor to watch Jack embrace all these characteristics in his energetic way, and it's been a pleasure to work with him as he is such a leader and is so mission-centered. Jack is the same toward his classmates, and whether he is reading the petitions at our Ash Wednesday Mass 2 days ago, leading a Kairos retreat, or hitting a hole-in-one on our golf team, Jack does it all with a smile that is infectious and exhibits his love for Jesus. He brings God's goodness into the world as he serves in campus ministry, plays varsity volleyball on our state championship team, or participates in mock trial in his trademark maroon suit you'll see in a minute. Jack also excels in academics and takes a most rigorous course load, earning first honor status. His favorite class is Ignatian vocation through film, and when he isn't studying, he's using his academic gifts playing chess or his saxophone. Jack is still choosing between several colleges, including Boston College and Miami University, and I've already offered him a job to come back as a campus minister and golf coach when he graduates. Please welcome Walsh Jesuit Senior Jack Mercer.
Who is God, and where is God? As I matured in both the mind and the church, I found myself frequently asking these questions, both to my peers and to myself. Sadly, I never received an answer that satisfied me. While on my faithful journey through high school, I had my ups and downs, just as any kid would. Oftentimes, I felt as if I was lacking something. However, I couldn't pinpoint exactly what it was. I was practically engaged in autopilot my first years at Walsh. I was comfortable, but not engaged with my faith. That is, until I underwent a tragic accident. Midway through my junior year, I had broken my right collarbone, attempting a stunt, and I had to undergo surgery. This news was devastating. I'd never broken a bone before, let alone had surgery. I vividly remember, while on my way to the hospital, saying, "All right, God, if you're real, now would be a great time to show yourself." Little did I know, that is not how things worked. Suddenly, I was out of autopilot, and I did not know how to fly. After the surgery concluded, my body was one metal rod and 14 screws richer, and I had zero direction from there. Of course, I had to go to rehab to get my movements back, but I was a very active person, so it was not in my nature to slow down, let alone stop. However, stopping is sadly what happened. While enduring the sleepless nights and lifeless days, I was constantly in my head regretting what had happened and questioning, where do I go from here? I would constantly beat myself up and question if I would ever recover to my former self. It was in these hopeless moments I found myself begin to reach out to God. Instead of sulking in my sorrow and regret, I would simply talk to God and ask him for strength and courage while going through the rehabilitation process. Suddenly, my least favorite time of day, sleeping, turned to my favorite. That time went from being an inception of my anguish to the dawn of a new relationship. Although the relationship was often me talking to myself at night, it was comforting knowing that someone was listening. However, during my past nights of suffering, I did learn a great deal about myself, mainly on how my regret and sorrow solved a zero of my problems, so letting these emotions plague my life daily was futile. Once I was able to affirm this idea, I was truly able to focus on becoming better physically and mentally. Although the path to recovery was a long one, I was ready to give my all. So, for the next few weeks, I continued my rehabilitation effort. However, this time, I had a profound sense of determination and God's guidance to help me. As weeks faded into months, I began to see real progress in my recovery. Originally, I was told by my doctors my recovery process would take upwards of 6 months. However, through my diligent work and God's helping hand, I was able to cut my recovery time in half. I was overwhelmed with emotion. Once I was finally healed and back on my feet, I had such an appreciation for everything. I never realized all the things that I had taken for granted until I lost the ability to actually do those things. Also, I left the recovery process a new man in terms of my faith. I was ready to continue to grow closer to God. With my newfound faith, I decided to apply for a Kairos retreat to complete my goal of growing closer to God. Luckily, I was selected to go on a Kairos retreat the week after my full recovery. It felt like it was meant to be. It could not have been timed any better. So, for the following week, I departed for my retreat, filled with uncertainty and anxiousness. However, these emotions were short-lived thanks to the welcoming atmosphere. During this retreat, I learned a great deal regarding perspective, others, and God. Having been at Walsh for my freshman and sophomore year, all I heard about was how amazing Kairos was. I felt almost as if now I was a Kairos enlightened individual. One of the beautiful things I learned on Kairos is understanding of myself and of others. While on the retreat, I was able to change my perspective and see everyone there as one big family, God's family. At the end of the day, that is what we all are. To me, this was beautiful. For everyone to be present and be together was everything I could have ever asked for from a retreat. Once the retreat finally concluded, I left a new man. My collarbone was finally healed, and I was what we call at Walsh, Kai High. As I returned to my daily life, I had a new sense of purpose. I didn't just click the autopilot button and cruise through my day. Instead, I enjoyed and savored every moment with everyone. Once I did return to my life, I found myself on the other end of an onslaught of questions regarding my injury. The most common question I would get is, "Do you regret doing the stunt that broke your collarbone?" I always responded with, "Although it was certainly not my smartest moment, I regret nothing about my stunts. In fact, if given the opportunity to redo the event, I would do the exact same thing." People are astonished by this answer, especially my parents. However, once I begin to explain how pivotal this moment was for me, people begin to understand. What most people would call a tragedy, I call a miracle, because for me, it is most certainly a cannonball moment in my life. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the term cannonball moment, it was adopted after St. Ignatius of Loyola's legs were shattered by a cannonball while he was fighting a war. Before the war, Ignatius was an unruly individual in society. However, after his legs were shattered, he was unable to move from his hospital bed. So he passed the time by reading the Bible, and he ended up converting. Once healed, he started seeing the world and all things with new eyes of Christ. Similarly, I broke my shoulder, which in turn opened my world up to God. So now, as I stand before you all today, having reflected upon my roller coaster of a journey, I realize the question isn't really who is God and where is God, but rather, who isn't God and where isn't God? Because God is with us and in us all. We are all made in God's image and likeness. I see God every day when I wake up and drag my siblings to school. I see God as I walk through the energetic hallways at Walsh. I see God in the beauty of nature as the sun lights up the sky. And I see God in all of you. Sometimes the most complex questions have the simplest solutions. And in my case, all I really had to do was look. Thank you.
I want to thank our speakers for their heartfelt presentations and of their journey through faith, and I think they leave us all with one thought: our future is in good hands. If you have any questions, please on the cards on your table, please get those jotted down if you haven't done so already. And when you have them prepared, please hold your hand up and we have some board members who will pick them up. While we're doing that, a few announcements. Our next First Friday Club will be here on Friday, April 1, with a presentation by former NFL player and soon-to-be NFL coach and former collegiate football coach, Tom Arth. If you're listening to the podcast of this on our website, we invite you to join us in person. You can make reservations by sending a check for $20 to the First Friday Club, 795 Russell Avenue, Akron, 44307. You can call us at 330-535-7668 each month or online using Eventbrite. If you sign up on a monthly basis, please know that your reservations need to be in 1 week before the talk. We have some great speakers for the remainder of this year, and the programming committee is already working on speakers for 2023, and we have a variety of engaging Catholic speakers on the get ready for. Please consider recommending us to your friends, and please come back. If you're not on our mailing list or emailing list, please use one of those cards on the table and fill it out, and you can give it to me or one of the board members. I'd like to recognize some folks. If you could raise your hand or wave if you are a first-time attendee to the First Friday Club. We want to welcome our students from Archbishop Hoban, Our Lady of the Elms, St. Vincent, St. Mary, and Walsh Jesuit High Schools. Students, give us a wave. We also want to welcome students from Holy Family Elementary, St. Anthony, and St. Mary Elementary Schools. I'd also like to recognize board members of the First Friday Club and our office manager, Carol Scalf. Board members, do we have any questions? If not, we'll have Deacon Will make something up. Now leading our question and answer is First Friday Club Vice President and Deacon William Yoho.
All right. We'll go ahead and give each one of you an opportunity to answer this question. Is what do you want to see changed in the Catholic Church so that more young people will want to stay or become Catholics?
Well, one thing that I think would really help engage young people in attending church and joining the Catholic beliefs is changing the music or making the music more inviting. Having fun, uplifting music is often a really great way to get everyone involved in the Mass. And during my middle school time at St. Hilary, I remember one big thing was getting everyone to sing. That is something that's so big for the environment and the atmosphere at Mass. And, you know, having great songs to do that helps create a great inviting atmosphere for young people.
So when you asked that question, the first thing that came to mind was acceptance. I feel as Catholics and as Christians, we're called to love. So I feel accepting everyone and knowing that they are welcome in a church and faith-based environment is key. And one part, especially targeted towards teens and youth, is just knowing that faith is so much more than just like an obligation. It's a relationship, and it's something real. And of course, having fun with it as well. Faith is something that's special and something supposed to be enjoyed and shared with others and with Christ. So.
One thing that I think could possibly be changed is what we're learning about in theology class right now, and it's When we're confirmed as Catholics, it's in eighth grade when you're 14. And a lot of people, I think, confuse that as being synonymous with an ending, like you're ending grade school, you're ending something. And I think that we need to know that when we are confirmed, we're confirmed in a way that we're confirming our faith and we're going to take it to the next step of our education. And then also at the end of Mass, we're called to go out. So after Mass, it's not enough just to go to Mass for 1 hour a week. The real part of faith is going out into the community and living your faith. So I think we need to.
I think finding a way during church, well, I know a lot of people that get very bored during church and fall asleep. So I think that's one of the major things we need to do, as Jack mentioned, is, you know, uplifting songs and things that make people excited to go to church. And I know at the Elms we have a school song, and at the end of every Mass we sing the school song, and everyone's just very engaged and just very excited. So I think we need to just find more ways to make church maybe more appealing to the younger audience.
All right, this one's specifically to you. What was the stunt?
Say no.
So when it was my junior year, we had a snow day and we had to film a school project, and I was already, I think, a week late on turning the project in. So I was like, all right, I got to do something great to get those points back. So all my friends went out skiing because we had a snow day, and I was like, I'm going to do a backflip on skis. It's going to happen. I'm going to do it, and it's going to be so cool. I did not do the backflip on skis. So that was how I broke my collarbone.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
We'll go ahead and go through from the other end. What have you ever been tempted to walk away from God? And then in addition to that, what was the turning point in your faith?
Yes, I've been tempted before, and I think a lot of it is because for me it was always, I need to be able to see God, you know, a physical being, and obviously, you know, it's not. It's more of a faith aspect. So, yes, I was often very tempted to walk away and, you know, find something else that was more physical. But what brought me back is really just through any times that I was really struggling, I just found myself just praying and sitting down and, like, you know, please give me an answer or a sign. And there always was, whether it was in a form of, you know, a person or just something that happened. And I just really realized, okay, like, I know God is here for me, and I know my faith is real.
Amen. Like she said, I think for young people it's really important that you see God. And one of the people I see God through is actually here. So Matthew Trezola, can you stand up? I went to grade school with Matthew Trezola for 9 years, and he's one of the most faithful people I know. And when I'm tempted to walk away, I look at people like him who live their faith. So.
So for me, not only have I been tempted before, there was a point where I did turn away from my faith. And 2020, we all remember that year. In that first week where the world shut down, I was supposed to go on a spring retreat with my youth group. And I was very excited and very open to what Christ was going to do for me that weekend. But I never actually got to go on that retreat. And the world shut down, and I remember being, like, very angry with Christ at first. I didn't understand why he could let this happen. But then that anger just turned into nothing. I was very numb, and I just simply forgot, like, my faith. It wasn't there. And it wasn't until several months later where my youth group leader texted me and said, hey, you want to help out at this freshman retreat? I said, why not? I have nothing else going on. And I did. And through that retreat and leading it for those younger freshmen, made me realize that God could use my brokenness to help others in their faith. So that was kind of like my lowest point in my faith, and it was something that was turned into something a lot more beautiful and kind of redeeming for me. So that was a big turning point in my faith. And the biggest turning point in my faith was the moment I remember I could first hear God telling me that he loved me, and that he was calling me into so much, something so much more real and so much, much deeper than just simply going to Mass on Sundays and praying before I went to bed, that I could actually know him and that he always knew me. So,
amen. Yeah.
So my biggest temptation to turn away from faith actually occurred right before I broke my shoulder. I kind of felt myself gradually departing and growing further away from faith and God as a whole. And like I mentioned in my speech, luckily I broke my shoulder, and through those sleepless nights where I laid in bed feeling empty, alone, I was able to turn to someone who I didn't really think was in my life anymore. And it was kind of beautiful in the moments of silence and being alone, what, you know, could be perceived as awful and, you know, just empty was part of my most enlightening experience. When I was alone, I felt closer to God than I ever have.
Okay. Some of you talked about this a little bit. Actually, we'll have two questions. What are you going to miss most about high school? And then what are you planning on doing after college?
I'm going to miss a lot of things about Walsh Jesuit. It's been such a great, inviting atmosphere, but the chief one being the atmosphere in the hallways. When the bell rings, I walk in the hallways, I see all my friends, I wave, shake their hand, say what's up to my teachers. It's a great atmosphere. It's really, you know, seeing God in all things. Every time the bell rings, I look forward to walking the hallways, seeing my friends, and seeing God in my friends. And what was the second question?
What are you doing after college?
I have no idea.
Good man.
I've got no idea.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite parts about going to school every day is always just feeling like I belong. Like, I feel like I walk in the hallways and someone's always like, "Hey, Andy, how are you?" Just like out of the blue, but it kind of just like makes my day. And then one part that I will miss a lot is being on the tennis team with all my friends, because the girls on the tennis team are some of my best friends, and we're always there for each other, and we have such a fun time together, whether it's on the court or like messing around on the bus ride on the way to a match, because we do that a lot and probably drive our coach a little crazy. So that'll probably be two of the most parts I'll miss about St. V. And next year I'm planning on going to Dayton. I'm going to major in early childhood education. And I don't know exactly the plan. I'm just kind of graduated at this point. But hopefully, I love working with people, especially kids. So I hope to be a teacher. And I really hope to be in a Catholic school, because I've always been in a Catholic school my entire life. And I hope to make an impact on kids just like me and just like the teachers did for me. Yeah.
Awesome.
What I'm going to miss most about high school is definitely the environment and the tradition that kind of surrounds Hoban. And I know that I'll take that with me, but I won't get to like live Mom Day again. And then I also will miss rides to and from school with my siblings. I'm probably the best singer, not the best dancer, but carpool karaoke is kind of our thing. So.
And after college?
After college, I'm not sure. I'm planning to go to medical school, so that's after college. So that's it.
I am definitely going to miss the community of my high school, as the most important thing is we're so small, and I think that's definitely very important, and we just have such a strong community. And after high school, I'm planning on going to John Carroll, planning on majoring in either management or marketing and business, and I also have an interest in going to law school, so we'll see what happens.
Well, I can share with you that all of you, God has a tremendous plan for your life. And with the faith that you have, if you continue to seek him, he will use all of you mightily. God bless.
again, thank you for the wonderful answers. It's my pleasure to introduce Archbishop Hoban student Ellie Hardman, who will offer our closing prayer.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Most gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for bringing us together today, for your guiding presence, for the meal that we shared, and for the conversations in which we participated. We are grateful for your presence and for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. We ask your blessing upon the students who shared their stories of how your presence has impacted their lives during high school. Bless their families and parents and who have served as their first examples of living the Catholic faith. Bless their friends, teachers, advisors, and school communities who have supported them and walked with them on their journeys of faith. Fill us all with the grace and fortitude we need as we continue to grow in relation with you. We pray for all those in Ukraine and around the world who are suffering because of discord and violence. We know you are a God of peace, not war, and we pray for a peaceful resolution to all conflict and war. As we go forth this day, we ask in a special way for the intercession of Blessed Basil Moreau, Saint Dominic, Blessed William Joseph Chaminade, and Saint Ignatius. We ask all things this day through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Ellie. One more thing. There's lots of cookies scattered around on many of the tables, so we invite especially you young folks to grab some. And if anyone else wants to take some with them, we have some carry-out containers up here on the beverage table, too. But please take them. You paid for them, so get them out of here. I want to thank everyone for coming. Please take a look at our website and our future programs. We look forward to seeing many of you here next month on April 1st, 2022. Thank you. Safe travels. Thank you.